Hey, this is Gillian Welch.
And this is Dave Rollins.
You're listening to Off the Record.
I'm Brian Wise. Thank you very much for joining me on the program this week, where we continue our tribute to Fats Domino, the legendary New Orleans piano player who passed away last week at the age of 89. Last week, we played part one of an interview that I did with C.C. Adcock just after Fats passed away. C.C. had played with Fats in a very special gig at Tipitina's, and we talked about that. And we continue our conversation because C.C., as a member of Little Band of Gold, not only recorded several songs with Robert Plant for inclusion on the Going Home tribute album to Fats Domino, but also recorded a whole album of Fats Domino songs with his band. And we'll continue that conversation after we hear from Little Band of Gold and C.C. Adcock on lead vocals performing Poor Me. And later in the program, we'll talk to piano player John Cleary, who's been in New Orleans for more than three decades. And he has actually played with Fats in his house. He's touring Australia. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later in the show. First of all, Little Band of Gold.
Woke up this morning, feeling low, where my loved one used to lay.
She ain't there no more.
As well.
Myself, but I might as well go.
Casey Adcock, and you're listening to Off the Record, spinning all that bayou wattage into your cottage.
You know, one of the other people who has also always been a Fats Domino fan, and you could hear that in Lady Madonna, was Paul McCartney, and Fats recorded that song. But Paul McCartney did a great version of Fats' Sweet Coquette on that Run Devil Run album he did. So he's obviously a huge fan of Fats, and Fats.
There's not one rock and roller of that English school, whatever the first class of English rock and rollers was, not at the Stones or Keith, or then even slightly later the Bowies. All those cats were massively influenced by their own admission. It's not a stretch or any news to anyone that those guys all knew their Fats Domino backwards and forwards, and understood that that Fats' delivery was key to being a well-rounded rock and roller. It's not just always about being a menacing sort of rough boy badass. You got to also have the fat side to prove that you can. That you got both sides of the coverage, you know.
Hey, do you have a particular Fats Domino song that's your favorite that you love to do more than any of the others?
I mean, I've always done Poor Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hear Tommy McLean do it a lot as a kid. Of course, the whole idea, this whole term swamp pop is basically just Fats Domino music. It's that triplet, dung 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 dung. It's got that Blueberry Hill bass line to it, and that dun 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 6/8 triplet piano thing. In fact, it's argued that basically swamp pop is just Fats Domino music, but some people argue, well, it's Domino meets Fado Dough. Fado Dough is the term that people use for Cajun music and French music around Southwest Louisiana. So when you put the two of those things together, you get the swamp pop sound. But I always did Poor Me because I heard Tommy doing it a lot, and he used to have a funny little lounge version that had some funny breaks in it, and I kind of learned it from him. So I like Poor Me. I love Going Home as a tune, and where do you stop, man? I mean, Be My Guest is, I used to be able to get in fights with Jamaicans and all sorts of hipsters about this, but now it's just been well documented and proven. I mean, Be My Guest was like the first ska tune, and that had a profound effect. That tune and its rhythm had a profound effect on Jamaican music. It was immediately covered in islands and on the island of Jamaica by dozens and dozens of people in real time as soon as that song came out. And of course, they were getting those tunes out of New Orleans radio late at night, mm-hmm. when the airwaves were clear and there was no storms in the Gulf and the Caribbean. Jamaica could pick up those big 100,000-watt stations that we used to have in America before the FCC, started regulating how much wattage you could have. So they heard those tunes, and it touched their soul like it would eventually touch the whole rest of the world. And I think Fats also it's just been well documented by all the music scholars, of which I'm not, that Fats and that song Be My Guest in particular had a profound effect on Jamaican music and ska and reggae going forward.
Come on, baby, and be my guest. Come join the party and meet the rest. Everything's gonna be alright, so be my guest tonight. We're gonna dance to the rock and roll. We're gonna even do the stroll. We're gonna Lindy Hop and Susie Q. It's a special party just for you. My, my, oh my. Gee, you're so fine. Don't let me down. I'm the king, but you can wear my crown. I'm gonna sing my big on the plate. I'm gonna make you queen for days. Everything's gonna be alright, so be my guest tonight.
my crown. I'm gonna sing my big on a plane. I'm gonna make you queen for day. Everything gonna be alright. So be my guest tonight.
This is CC Adcock, and y'all listening to Off the Record, spinning all that Bayou wattage into your cottage.
Now, I did miss that legendary gig, but I did see Fats at Jazz Fest a number of times. In fact, I saw him at his last appearance at Jazz Fest when he came on stage. I think it was in 2006 after Katrina to say, not long before that gig, or maybe after that gig, to say that he was too unwell to perform at Jazz Fest. And along with someone like Alan Toussaint, who's recently passed away, and you mentioned Dave Egan, boy, he really represented the soul of New Orleans, didn't he? Because I've actually been to his house, because he had his initials on the roof of his house.
Caffin Avenue there, in the Ninth Ward, Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about Fats' music and the legacy there that's never going to go away, and how those songs are going to, you know, I'm sure they're on a time capsule somewhere on the moon or flying out in space. I mean, they must have included a Fats Domino tune. It just speaks volumes to you know, just race relations and melody and things getting along and harmony and. You can't overlook, though, that Fats was just a consummate live performer. He was, you know, in the same class as James Brown. He had a very different approach, but just, you know, it's just unbelievable that the real track record that might get overlooked with Fats is that he just never once played a bad show. You know, Jimi Hendrix, from what I hear, played a few bad shows. You know, most musicians do. In fact, most genius musicians, give or take maybe Prince, you know, there's a few stinkers out there. You can't be phenomenal all the time. But Fats was such a consummate professional. He was, I know this from having known some people close to him and known some of the guys in the band. And
such a perfectionist.
Yeah, he was a perfectionist, but he was just so worried and made it his business. I mean, he was just so consumed. He was so consumed with making sure that his live show never faded. To watch him in his older years deliver shows with a lot of the same band members that he had in the golden years when he was having the big hit records, he would still have those same cats in the band that spoke volumes to the way he treated his band and to the fact that those musicians knew that their legacy was well intact with Fats, that he was always going to protect that legacy, that he was never going to cheapen it by trying to make some up-to-date move or keep up with the trends. You know, you see it so many times. People try to reinvent themselves to varying degrees of success. I don't hold it against anybody to try to grow. But Fats knew he had a great thing, and he knew it was timeless from the beginning, and he never tried to change it. And he could replicate it on stage, you know, to his very last shows. And then I think was earnest enough and wise enough whenever it started becoming difficult for him to sort of mentally take on the gigs, you know, remembering all the lyrics and even the physicality of performing live. He bowed out very gracefully, and instead of going out there and having a bad mark, he doesn't have one blemish. No one, I've never heard of anybody saying they saw a bad Fats Domino show, and I saw all of his last shows, which were almost all in New Orleans. I think they were all in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and he. You know, and every time you kind of hold your breath, like, you know, maybe he's going to be too old, or maybe he's going to start to forget. It was never like that. One show was more brilliant than the next. And it was because he was using the same formula and the same material, the same band, that same beautiful smile. That's what he was selling from the stage. At the end of the night, he'd pump that piano across the stage with his belly a little bit, and you know, to me, that was just as good as Jimi Hendrix burning a guitar, Prince doing a million splits. But that's just me.
Hello, Josephine. How do you do? Do you remember me, baby? Like I remember you. Used to live at me in Hollywood. I used to walk you home. I used to hold your hand. Used to use my umbrella every time it rained. Used to cry so much. It was a crying shame. He used to live over yonder by the railroad tracks. When it rained, you couldn't walk. I used to torture you on my back. Now you're trying to make me leave. It wasn't a deal like that. Hey, Lord, Josephine, how do you do? Do you remember me, baby? Like I remember you. He used to live at me in Hollywood.
C.C. Adcock, and y'all listening to Off the Record, spinning all that bayou wattage into your cottage.
Thanks for talking to us about Fats, because he is someone that we are going to celebrate. And, hey, Dave Bartholomew's still with us, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I have to think early this morning when I heard the news what Dave must be feeling tonight, his old partner in crime. And, I know there was all sorts of different chapters to that friendship, but I know that there was a lot of great reconciliation and hanging there at the end, and those two guys changed the world. They made some music that that helped rock and roll become mainstream, and without cheapening it one bit. And in fact, they went deeper and helped it become mainstream. And I want to say this here at the very end for all the singers out there that, you know, doing their thing, especially if you like Fats Domino. Try this for me. When you're singing your song, put a big smile on your face and sing it with a smile like Fats did. You know, all that video footage of him, you could go on YouTube and see it. He always had a big smile. He would duck his head in and turn his head as he would sing, and he put a big smile on, like he was shooting you a big old hello. I wanna walk you home. And when you smile and sing, you get a completely different tone. Now, I like menacing rock and roll. I like rough and ready cats that get up there and growl as much as anybody. I like a snarl. I love Elvis's snarl. I like all the snarls that have come since. But if you want the Fast Domino sound and you want to go straight to people's hearts, no matter what you're singing, even when he was singing Poor Me, he had a smile on his face, and he would sing it with a smile. And it changes the way the shape of your mouth, and it changes the way the words come out. So I thank Fats for bringing all that joy and happiness to us, everlasting.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New kiss in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey.
see you by and by, till I'm walking to New Orleans. I've got no time for talking, I've got to keep on walking. New Orleans is my home, that's the reason why I'm gone. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
That's Fats Domino and one of my favourite songs of all time, a song that I always play before I head off to New Orleans for Jazz Fest, Walking to New Orleans. And we were talking to CC Adcock about Fats Domino's career. We also heard Hello Josephine, or otherwise known as My Girl Josephine from Fats, Be My Guest, which CC says is one of the first ska songs, and Poor Me from Little Band of Gold.
This is Big Leo of the Meters. When I'm in Australia, I listen to Off the Record. Listen to it.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, John Cleary, British-born, New Orleans-based piano player, he's been there for 36 years, is in Australia touring. He played at the Wangaratta Jazz Festival last weekend, headed up to Sydney on Sunday, November the 5th, and he's playing a series of gigs in New South Wales and Canberra. He'll be in Cronulla on Tuesday, November the 7th. He'll be at the Canberra Theatre on Wednesday the 8th, Lazotz on November the 9th, Thursday, in Lambton. The Basement in Sydney on November the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and then he's heading back down to Melbourne to go to Bird's Basement for three nights, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and he's basically got almost the whole month in Australia. You can check out the rest of the tour dates on his site, but he'll be in Brisbane on the 17th, and then he's travelling to the Mullum Music Festival, and then across to to Perth, and the Queenscliff Music Festival at the end of November ends his tour. So it's quite an extensive gig for John with his absolute monster gentleman. And I caught up with him just the other day on his tour bus on his way to Wangaratta to have a chat about his tour, but also about Fats Domino, because Fats was a huge influence on John Cleary, and John Cleary had actually visited Fats on many occasions and played with him in his house. So let's have a listen to our interview with John Cleary. But first, let's hear another song from Fats Domino. This is one of my favourites, A Whole Lot of Lovin'.
John Cleary in New Orleans, and you're listening to Off the Record.
Hello.
Hello, John. It's Brian here. How are you?
Brian, how are you, mate? I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I'm in the car on the road to Wangaratta.
Hey, can we talk about Fats Domino for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Someone very important to New Orleans and rock and roll, and to you, of course. And I've seen film of you playing the piano with Fats.
Yeah. I used to go to his house and play. He was suffering from dementia, which really meant he was he just didn't have any memory and was a bit confused by everything that was around him. But the minute the piano started, it registered with him straight away. And so his daughter kind of liked it when I came over and just played for him. So yeah, I got to share a few moments. And the joy would be just coaxing him onto the piano slowly in small increments until he'd be sitting there playing away. And he was still playing great right up to the end.
And this is in the latter years of his life, because his last Jazz Fest appearance was kind of more than 10 years ago, I think, before Katrina. So he stopped touring before he lost his ability to play, didn't he? He stopped playing,
He stopped playing, I think, when he realised that he was having difficulty remembering the words to his songs. I think that's when he stopped performing. I saw one of his last gigs in New Orleans, and the band sounded great, but it's kind of cool in the way that he stopped while he was still at the top of his game.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see him a number of times at Jazz Fest, and you would have seen him many times. He always put on a fantastic performance, didn't he?
Well, he did, and the thing was that he hadn't changed his formula. And when you saw the Fats Domino Orchestra, you saw a band that was doing essentially what they would have been doing half a century before, and it was so good then and so good in the present that it was just remarkable. It was one of those instances where someone finds something that just doesn't require any adjustment or improvement at all, but it's just as good as it can possibly get.
Dave Bartholomew is still with us, of course, and he led Fats' band, you know, worked with Fats and co-wrote with him, and was basically the guy behind Fats Domino.
Yeah, he's 98 years old now. The last time I actually saw him play was at a jazz funeral for a friend of mine, Punchy Johnson, a really good drummer, who was like a son to Dave Bartholomew, and was the first guy to actually introduce me to Dave Bartholomew many years ago. And he played trumpet, but was finding it hard, but even at that point, that was probably 10 years ago, in his 80s. But Dave Bartholomew was really the guy, the brains behind the Fats Domino sound.
He certainly was. Hey, as a long-time resident of New Orleans, it's been a bad couple of years for the city, hasn't it, with the passing of Alan Toussaint, who was very close to you in terms of music. I know you were so fond of his music and knew him, and now Fats. It's as if part of the heritage of the city has disappeared in a way, isn't it? Although they'll always be remembered there.
Well, I suppose it's just part of life, isn't it, really? I mean, the reality is that New Orleans had a disproportionately large influence on popular music around the globe, and the generation of the 1920s and then the generation of the 40s and 50s. And when I arrived in New Orleans in the early 80s, it was the jazz generation that was starting to, were passing away and disappearing. And now it's the rhythm and blues generation. And that's lost lots of people that I was lucky enough to call friends of mine, who were really important figures in the New Orleans rhythm and blues sound, which, as we all know, took off around the globe and was rechristened rock and roll, but it really started in New Orleans. So it just happens, you know, and it's very sad, but the older musicians in New Orleans tend to be quite philosophical about it. You know, I was at Earl Palmer's funeral. I was at Earl Palmer's funeral talking to Mac Rebenack, and he said, "Hey, man, it's all right. You know, he did what he did and he's gone on." And I think, you know, in New Orleans, people tend to celebrate the good things of someone's life rather than get maudlin and sad about it. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet, but in New Orleans, they have a jazz funeral for musicians, and they turn it from being a somber affair into a celebration of all the good things to be remembered. So it's kind of a nice way to see people off.
Yeah, I think they had a second line parade for Fats just the other night.
Yesterday. I was getting phone calls from the videos from Poland Avenue. I wish I could have been. It broke my heart that I couldn't be there to take part in the big farewell turn.
Hey, John, just one more thing about Fats. Can you just talk about his piano style? Because it's very hard to describe. It was, I kind of use the word relaxed, but he had this kind of very easy style that, and you're a sort of a master of different piano styles. What was it about his piano style that was so unique?
It was unique I suppose in some respects, I'd agree that everybody has a unique style. There are no two musicians who sound identical. But it's born out of a long evolution of stylistic development that has been happening in New Orleans for over a century. And that's the important thing you have to remember about New Orleans music is that whereas in lots of other places, these studios have flourished at a certain time or musicians have flourished at a certain time because the industry has shone on that particular place. In New Orleans, that is the folk music of the people of New Orleans. They've always been making music in New Orleans. Even if there was no, if the music business completely died tomorrow, they'd all still carry on playing music. It's part and parcel, and it gets handed down through your contemporaries, from the older generation to the younger generation, and nothing there exists in a vacuum. Anything anybody plays in New Orleans is influenced by what they've heard their parents or grandparents' generation do, street parades or neighborhood churches or neighborhood barrooms and clubs. So his style is a New Orleans style of piano playing, and you can see, if you listen to the music of Huey Piano Smith or Professor Longhair, Edward Frank, Salvador Doucette, a lot of the same things, a lot of the same stuff. They share a vocabulary. And it's rooted in the blues, rooted in jazz, rooted in all sorts of stuff. But they say there's a rolling style of New Orleans, which is where you take a chord and you tremolo the chord with your right hand. There's also a left-hand pattern that is based out of an old blues form that's associated with Jimmy Yancey and other musicians who weren't even from New Orleans, but that formed the basis of a certain style of New Orleans rhythm and blues that was really personified by Smiley Lewis. They just had more success with Fats Domino. I think perhaps it was easier to sell by the record label.
I should tell people they're listening to Off the Record. I'm talking to John Cleary on his way to Wangaratta. On your way, eventually, you'll be in Melbourne the week after next. We're really looking forward to seeing you. You're with the Absolute Monster Gentlemen. Are they in the van with you?
Yes, there are two of them. There's another one flying in as we speak, landing as we speak, hopefully. Well, we're really looking forward to it, man. It's been a while since we were back in Australia, and we've got lots of fans here, people who really seem to understand what it is that we do with that sort of particular blend of soul music and rhythm and blues and funk and New Orleans street beat. And we've been out there touring around the world and doing our thing, and it's taken us a little while to get back around to Australia, but we're here now. We're going to have a lot of fun on this gig. Really looking forward to it. We're here for almost the whole month, actually, covering everywhere from Melbourne to Wangaratta today, and then we're going to be in Brisbane and all the way over in Perth and Fremantle. And so, yeah, it's good. I'm excited, looking forward to it.
Hey, is Big D with you this time?
No, Big D isn't here on this trip. It's a bit hard for him to travel these days. But I have Nigel Hall, who I don't know if you're familiar with, who's phenomenal musician and good friend of mine. He's going to be handling keyboards, two keyboards, bass and drums on this particular outing, and then a Cornell Williams and AJ Hall on drums. So it's pretty ferocious lineup, and I think everyone's in for a treat. It's going to be good.
It is one of the funkiest bands ever to come out of New Orleans, if I might say so.
Thank you very much. That's a nice compliment. I think so too, but, you know, in New Orleans there's a lot of musicians and it's a very incestuous family. We all play in each other's bands and all part and parcel of the same thing. So it's nice when we get a compliment that we can kind of accept it on behalf of the entire music community in New Orleans, because we're all out there doing the same thing, really.
Well, after living there for more than 20 years, must be nearly 30 years now, you're almost a local.
36.
36, jeez. You are almost a local.
I am. I enjoy quite a privileged position, really, because I am a local. At the same time, I think perhaps I have a deeper, more profound love for the city by virtue of having started my life in a different part of the globe. So, yeah, it's good to have a foot on the inside and a little on the outside, too. Get to enjoy both sides. The subjective and the objective.
In fact, you went to New Orleans the first year that I went to Jazz Fest. If only I'd met you and you convinced me to stay there.
Well, I said my first jazz fest was in 1981, and there's been a lot of music played since then. So, yeah, it's good. Well, it's lovely to be from a place like New Orleans, and one of the greatest joys is presenting the music to audiences around the world, because you just know even before you start playing that they're going to dig it. That's the thing about New Orleans music is so enduring, whether it's rhythm and blues, funk, Dixieland, jazz, whatever you want, Indian music, street beat, parade grooves. It makes you feel good. So it's great to be, it's a privilege to be a sort of a roving ambassador of the New Orleans sound, because you're spreading a little joy in the world. That's a good thing.
Hey, John, your last album was a solo piano album recorded at one of our favourite venues, Chickiwawa, but you've got a new studio album coming out, haven't you?
Yes, I'm working on it at the moment, in between tours. The last record, Go-Go Juice, was proved to be very popular, and it's been keeping us busy. So, but people always want a new record, so the challenge is trying to get the balance right between staying at home in the studio and being out there on the stage playing, performing live. And the new record is coming along really well. I'm really excited about it. We've got some great stuff. Still a lot of work to do. And I'm hoping that we'll get it finished by the end of the year. But it just depends on our touring schedule.
Are you going to play some, maybe preview some tracks from the album on the tour?
I think we will, yeah. I think there'll be a couple I'd like to preview. I like when a new album comes out, I like it to be a surprise. You know, personally for me, if a favourite artist of mine brought out a new album, the suspense would be part of the treat. So when you actually got it, you're hearing all this stuff for the first time. In this day and age, when everybody has video facilities in their personal phones, if you start performing stuff on gigs, then and it takes a year before the album comes out, then you've kind of given away, you're robbed of the ability to surprise people. And so there are some songs that I tend to leave off the set, even though I'd like to play them, because I want to keep them a surprise for when the record comes out. So it's kind of a shame. I try and dissuade people from videoing our gigs, because I'd rather they enjoyed it at the moment rather than looking at us through a cell phone. But can't do much about that these days.
Hey, John, well, thanks for talking to us, and we look forward to seeing you here in Melbourne. Hope you have fun in Wangaratta and on the tour dates before you get here to play at Bird's Basement, and we'll see you in less than 2 weeks' time. Have a good trip.
We're going to have a ball, man. We're excited about it. So, yeah, everybody come on out and see the band, get a little taste of New Orleans sunshine. It's good for you.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I feel so damn good. I'll be glad when I got the blues. Yeah. Come on, come on. And I feel so damn good. I'll be glad when I got the blues. Come on. And I'm so down being up. I'll be winning when I start to lose. Well. Street. Huh. I feel so damn good. I'll be glad when I got the blues. I'm so down in love. I'll be winning when I start to lose. Yes. And I'll feel alright. I'll feel alright. I'm
John Cleary and the Absolute Monster Gentlemen, one of the funkiest bands ever to come out of New Orleans, and a song titled So Damn Good. John Cleary touring Australia at the moment, and you can check out his tour dates at johncleary.com. Plenty of opportunities to see him on his current tour with the Gentlemen. You're listening to Off the Record with Brian Wise. Well, over the last couple of weeks, I've been playing some preview tracks from the brand new Bob Dylan box set, Trouble No More, which collects many of his outtakes, rehearsals and live performances recorded during his, what was called his Christian era, from back in 1979 through to 1981. There are a number of permutations of the box set available. There's a double CD available, which is a kind of a summary. There's a 9-disc set, which includes a live DVD. And there's a deluxe version if you're a hardcore Bob Dylan fan and got plenty of dough. You can get an exclusive live performance on top of the 9-disc set. Now, why do Bob Dylan fans salivate at the prospect of getting some more material from Bob's archives? It's basically because many of Bob's greatest songs have never been officially released on albums. And in the box sets, you get some absolute treats. And there are some on this latest collection, and I'm going to play a few tracks from discs 3 and 4, which are studio outtakes and recordings, some of which have never been released. The other discs in the box set being live performances, and they see Bob Dylan performing with an absolute passion. So let's have a listen to a couple of selections from Bob Dylan's Trouble No More.
Pressing on, yes, I'm pressing on. Well, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Said I'm pressing on.
Yes, I do. Pressing on. conversation, not an easy thing.
Bob Dylan is taking a slow train to Portland. His concert is January 10th, 8 p.m. at the Paramount.
I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to hear rock and roll. Rock and roll. I heard Bob Dylan singing gospel. I didn't come here to hear sermons. I could have went to church, man.
I want the old Bob Dylan, the one I know and love, and that wasn't him.
No, I think the message is the same one he sang about before. It's just more focused. I mean, people used to have to wonder about what he was saying. Now it's clear what he's saying.
Hey, he sounded great. The band was fine.
The scriptures say to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. And that's just what he's doing.
Decide for yourself. Bob Dylan in concert, January 10th at the Paramount. Seating for the special event is reserved only. Tickets on sale now at Meyer Frank downtown and all the usual Paramount outlets.
In the time of my confession, in the hour of my deepest need, in the pool of tears beneath my feet, flood every newborn sea. There's a dying voice within me, reaching out somewhere, toiling in the danger and in the morrows of despair. Don't have the inclination to look back on any mistake. I can't behold this chain of events. I can see the master's hand in every leaf that trembles, in every grain of sand. Oh, the flowers of indulgence and the weeds of yesteryear, like criminals they have choked the breath of conscience and good cheer. And the sun beat down upon the steps of time. the sorrow of the night, in the violence of a summer's dream, in the chill of a wintry night, in the bitter dance of loneliness fading into space, in the broken mirror of innocence on each forgotten face. I hear the aging footsteps like the motion of the sea. Sometimes I turn, there's someone there. At times it's only me. I'm hanging in the balance of a perfect finished plan, like every sparrow falling, like every grain of sand.
Dylan and the song Every Grain of Sand, which is in fact a rehearsal of that particular song during one of his tours back in the early 80s. And before that, we heard Pressing On, which is an outtake from one of his recording sessions. Amazing stuff. And those two tracks appear on the Bob Dylan box set, Trouble No More. Now, if you want that material, you need to get the expanded version. It's the 9-disc set. If you're a real Dylan fanatic, you'll get it. But you can get other material, 30 tracks or so, on a double CD version that's available. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I'm going to leave you with another Bob Dylan track, Caribbean Wind, a rehearsal of that song with Ben Keith playing pedal steel guitar. Thanks for joining me on Off the Record, brought to you on the Community Radio Network and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. I'll be back again next week, and I'm going to have a careful listen to this Bob Dylan box set. I'm going to do a review for you on next week's show. So if you've got a tax return or you want to put in for a Christmas present, I'll let you know whether you absolutely need to have the Bob Dylan box set Trouble No More. In the meantime, let's enjoy Caribbean Wind. Talk to you next week.
She was from Haiti, fair brown and intense. I don't think she'd ever known about innocence. I was playing a show in Miami in a theater of mystery. Told about Jesus, told about the rain. She told me about the vision, told me about the pain that had risen from the ashes and abided in her memory. Was she a virtuous woman? I really can't say. Something about her said, trust me anyway. As the days turn to minutes, and the minutes turn back into hours. I pretended to be sleeping, and he thought I was, but I was only paying attention like a rattlesnake does. When he's hearing footsteps trampling on the flowers. The Caribbean wind still blows from Mexico to Curacao, from Chinatown to the furnace of desire. And them distant ships of liberty on the iron waves so bold and free, bringing everyone that's near to me
closer to the fire. Well, our shadows drew closer till they touched on the floor. Prodigal son's waiting close to the door, preaching obscenities, waiting for the night to arrive. He was well connected, but her heart was a snare. She had left him to die in there, but I knew I could get him out while he still was alive. Now the stars on the balcony, flies buzz my head, ceiling fans broken as heat in my bed. Street band playing nearer my God to thee. She looked into my eyes, I hear the mission bells ring. She said, I know what you're thinking.
You're listening to 2SER in Sydney.